Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
His love is a firm foundation. And if we'll trust in Him, we will not be shaken. Right? That's God's Word in us. His very breath, right? The Bible is unlike any other book. That's why we call it the Holy Bible. There are a lot of good books in the world, right? We all read, well, most of us read. I know my wife reads a lot. She reads a lot of good books. In fact, there are a lot of great books in the world, right? There are some really super great books. And of course, it's according to your own, you know, your preferences about these books. But there's one book that's greater than all the others. It's a book that's unlike any other book. It has a power. It has a supernatural power in it that no other book on earth has to change lives. The reason it has power to change lives is because it is the Word, the very breath of God. Amen? Last week we looked at reasons we can know for certain that this is God's Word and it's not just a human book. It's not just some book that some men just dreamed up. It's not just an ordinary book. It's not just a bunch of fairy tales or fables and stories that were put together because we liked them. Or for that matter, even just a book of history of the nation of Israel. It is Theonoustros. Theonoustros, the Bible, is the very breath of God. God breathed. The Word of God is the most powerful thing in the universe. In fact, the Bible says the entire universe was created by the Word of God. God spoke it into existence. That God gave us the universe by simply speaking. Have you stopped to contemplate that ever instead of just read through that first part of the book of Genesis? God spoke, and at His very word, things came into existence. Over and over again, God speaks, and it happens. God speaks, and it happens. In Psalm 33, it says this, "The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word," His word, "and all the stars were born." Think about that. Break that down like we did that first week if you were in a group. The Lord, we know who the Lord is. Merely, that means just with little effort. Because that's how great He is. With little effort, He spoke in His voice. And it commands. And the heavens were created. That means when we think of the heavens, everything that you can see and everything you can't see, just by His word, it came into being. He breathed. The word came across His vocal cords and vibrated. And everybody, all the heavens, all the earth, fell in submission to Him and said, "Yes, we will come." If you want to call that the Big Bang, that in a split second all those stars were spewed out all over, then fine, call it the Big Bang. But I'm going to tell you, behind that bang was the Word of God. So the Word of God spoke. The Bible, as God said, "Let there be light," and there's light. God said, "Let there be this," and bam, there's this, there's that. Over and over, God speaks life into people. When Jesus was walking on the planet over 2,000 years ago, He brought people back to life simply by speaking a word. These were widely seen miracles, not attested to by two or three people, but 400 or 500 people at a time, sometimes thousands of people. What the Bible calls multitudes would see Jesus speak and see people be healed and see people be brought back to life, and many other miracles by speaking a word. This is the power of God's word, church. Maybe you've experienced it that way in your life. You know, I don't have power like that. I don't have the power that when I speak, something just comes into being or something just happens. But God does. You don't have a power like that because we're not God. But the power of God's word in us, the power of God's word is that God can create things and bring them into existence. And that's enormous power. That's the only power that that can come from is the one true God. Jesus said that his words were more than just words. They were spirit and life. And in John 6:63, it says, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." We're talking about spiritual power, church. We're talking about spiritual life. Things that can transform society, transform history, transform people. The word of God can do that. In Hebrews 4, it says the word of God is alive and active. And it is active. The Greek word here is the word energos. Energos, which is the word we get for energy. It has energy. God's word has energy. It has power to change things. The rest of that verse 12 says, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Is there any other word that can do that but God's word? No. Only God's word can do that. So what's he saying? He's saying it's sharper than a surgeon's skilled scalpel. The word of God has the ability to cut right to the heart of the issue. The ability of the word of God has the ability to point out what's wrong in my life, what needs to be corrected in my life, and what I need. It's not a skill saw or a chainsaw where you get rough cuts. It's like a scalpel. It can do the fine work that needs to be done in my life exactly the way I need it done in my life. And what do I need in my life? What do you need in your life? What is it? It's change. Now, don't resist that. It's change. We should not be the same people we were last week. We should not be the same people even a couple days ago. Because if we're submitted to the word of God, the God's word is about changing us into the form of his son, right? And if we're submitted to that and his word, his very breath in our lives, it changes, it creates, it brings into existence things in our lives, thoughts in our lives, wisdom in our lives that we didn't have before we asked and submitted to it. There are things you need to know to change your life. You may have even tried to change them on your own, but they haven't changed, have they? The Bible says the word of God can change things that you cannot change on your own. Theologian Dwight L. Moody said this, "The Bible was not given to increase our knowledge. The Bible was given to change our lives." You know, back when I was a youth pastor, and you may have experienced this, we had teams in our church and it called Bible Bowl. Anybody familiar with Bible Bowl? Some of us are. We had friends that were in Bible Bowl. Our students were in Bible Bowl, and it was about this section of scripture that they would study for months and months, and they would all come together and have a competition to see who knew the most knowledge of the word. And while that's good to get the word in you, it was just regurgitating. It was memorizing for the sake of memorizing and then regurgitating. But God's word is more than that. It's not about just knowledge and memorizing, but we do need to do that to have God's word in us. But then once it's in us, we need to submit to its message in our lives for change for us and for other people that we're called by the Holy Spirit to give to, out of love, of course. What I want us to do today is look at some specific ways God wants to change your life and my life by his very breath. Changes that you want in your life that God says, if you'll invest your life in my word, it will change you. Who's up for that? Anybody? Just a few of us, maybe? I don't see all those hands. Oh, yes, I see those hands. So we're all in board. We're all in this together. Okay, first thing, God's word changes me, and it recreates my life. It recreates my life. What does this mean? It means when my life is falling apart, when my life has gone to the dogs, when I feel like it's at the end of the rope, God comes in and he recreates my life. He gives me a whole new life, a new beginning, a new mind, a new heart. He gives me a fresh start. He lets me begin again. Thank you, Jesus. I need that every day. The Bible says in James, James said this, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Birth. Not a physical birth, but a spiritual birth. A birth of salvation that only comes through the word of truth. Without the word of God, you couldn't be saved. I couldn't be saved. Without the word of God, we wouldn't be headed for heaven right now. That wouldn't be our home. Why? We wouldn't even know there was a heaven if it wasn't for God's breath that he spoke and created. We wouldn't know about Jesus dying on the cross. We wouldn't know how to trust him. We wouldn't know that God has a purpose for our life. We wouldn't know any of these things that we need to know in order to get to know God without his word. And let me be honest with you. If we are walking around not knowing your purpose in your life, then I got a hard truth for you. You're not in God's word. Because if we run around saying, I don't know what my purpose is, I don't know what my purpose is, we read God's word. He has a purpose for us. And if you're submitted to God's word and his spirit, then he will open up your mind and he will tell you great truths and great secrets about your life that has purpose. You will know your purpose. So what I'm saying is get in God's word. God is not silent. He has chosen to reveal himself because he wants us to know him. He's a God that doesn't hide. God knows everything about us, and he wants us to know him. Now, Scripture does say there are mysteries about him we'll never know, we'll never comprehend, we'll never understand this side of our home in heaven. But one day, we will know fully, it says, just as we are fully known. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In this book, that's going to show you a path to heaven. The Bible is often compared to a seed, the metaphor of a seed. It's like a seed planted in your life. Once it takes root in your heart, it begins to sprout and it begins to grow and then it begins to bear fruit. Think for a second. When's the last time that your life bore fruit for the kingdom of God? Just take an evaluation real quick. What fruit is growing off of you? The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit that comes from being rooted in the Word. And his Word is the seed that is planted in our heart that is supposed to grow. But when it is, you see these changes for the good of your life. And your life has purpose in other people's lives. The Bible says in 1 Peter, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed. That means eternal. God's word eternal in you. Through the living and enduring word of God. That means it will never pass away. God's word will be forever. His word is then, now, and forever. The word of God is not just words. It's alive, the living, enduring word of God. And James finishes saying, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Don't get arrogant and say, oh, I already knew that. Because if you knew that, it would change your life. And you would be humble. Because that's what God's word causes us to do, to bow down and humble. Because the more we get closer to God, the more we see we are unworthy and that he is greater than we are. And we can stop saying that we're our own God and make it our own choices. Number two, the word of God can eradicate, which means put to an end, my guilt. How many of you are walking around today with guilt in your life, with shame in your life right now? That's not of God. God's word can eradicate it, can put it to an end. And this is the big one. I don't have to have any guilt anymore in my life. I don't have to go around with regrets in my life. I don't have to go around with shame in my life because God's word says I shouldn't. And it can change me so I don't have to. Most people are stuck with memories from the past that they can't seem to get over. Anybody there? Anybody got some memories or experiences in your life that you can't just seem to get over, or you keep revisiting over and over and over, and they've held you captive and they held you in bondage? It's not supposed to. God's word can change that. Either people, you've hurt them and they have resentment against you, or you've hurt others and they have guilt. Did you know that God doesn't want you to go through life carrying that kind of baggage? That's not freedom. That's a heavy yoke that you put on yourself. That's not the yoke that Jesus puts on us. Did you know that God wants you to be free from that guilt? Did you know that the Bible was given so you can be free from that guilt? but you got to believe his word, you got to accept his word, and you got to act on his word. And we're going to talk about it at the end, so I got ahead of myself. The God uses the word to eradicate or put to an end the guilt in our life. 1 John 1 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He will do that. His word will do that in our lives. God says, I'm going to give you a bath. I'm not only going to forgive you, I'm going to wipe it out. We're going to get rid of all the dirt in your life because I want you clean before me. Romans 8:1 says this, there is now no condemnation. That means zero, zip, none. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He didn't come to condemn, he came to save. You mean all those things I've done wrong in my life, God's not going to punish me for them? Nope. Why? Because Jesus already took that punishment on the cross. But listen, here it is. Only if you believe it and you receive it and you walk in it. You see, the ball's in your court. God already spoke his word. God's word is living and active. God's word is ready to change. But you've got to be ready to receive it. You got to believe his word, what it says. Then you got to receive his word into you like, yes, I believe it. And then you got to act on it. It's supposed to change you. I did a wedding last evening. Tim Garrett, one of our elders, his oldest son, who me and Charlie have known for since they were, he was a little boy. And I did their wedding last night, Hunter. And in weddings, when I talk about the kind of love that husbands are supposed to have for wives. And I say, and God's word in Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Christ died for the church. In Ephesians 5:25, it says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Why? To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Husbands sitting here right now, Christian husbands, followers of Christ, husbands, this is your call in your family, is to spiritually guide your family, is to wash your wife with the word, is to lead her with the word, from being led by the word in your life. You see, we get confused sometimes, and I tell the wives too that scripture says, wives, submit to your husbands. But see, we get that, the world messes that up and say, what? We're not going to bow down. Women aren't going to bow down to men. What are you talking about? That's not what it means. It means that there is a reverent respect for a husband, and husbands, we have to be worthy of it by being in God's word and letting it change us. And then we guide our wives and wash them with the word because we're being guided by the Holy Spirit in the word. And guess what? Your marriage will sustain the test of time. Nothing in this world can get to it. When I take the word of God and I fill my mind with it, it washes my mind. It washes my body. It cleanses the dirt, the junk, the grime, the grit, the shame, the sin out of my life. That's what God's word does. It makes me clean inside. It is a spiritual cleansing so that the guilt is eradicated or put to an end in my life. And I can walk around free with joy, ready to hear what God wants me to do and be obedient in it. Number three, the word of God changes me by activating my faith. Faith is a word activated. Faith is word activated. The Bible says in Romans 10, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. If you've ever read a verse in the Bible and all of a sudden it hits you like, wow, I can do that. I can do that. You just have had your faith activated by the word of God. This is the difference between the Bible and self-help books. And believe me, I have read my share of self-help books. And self-help books tell you some good things. You can do this and be this. You can do this and you can do that. They tell you the right thing to do. They just don't give you the power to do it. You read a self-help book that says if you really want to succeed in your life, you need to stop worrying. Well, that's helpful to know. You need to stop and give up bad habits. Well, that's really good too. It'll tell you all the right things to do, and they're right about a number of things. Stop thinking so negatively. But you don't know how to stop thinking so negatively. You don't have the power because those books aren't living. They aren't alive. But the power of God's word not only tells you what to do, but it gives you the power to do it. And it increases your faith. Tell me, anytime God has done this wonder and you've had this revelation or you've succeeded in something because you prayed about it, did it not increase your faith? Wow, God is real. Why are we so surprised? Why are we so surprised when God does something great like that? We read it in his word and we say we believe it, but then when it happens, like, wow, that worked. Of course it worked. It's God's word. Number four, the word of God stimulates my spiritual growth. It recreates my life. It lets me start over. It gives me a fresh start. It eradicates my guilt. It wipes the slate clean. And it activates my faith. Then as I start growing, it stimulates my growth. I had my knee replaced just a little over a year ago. And it's doing really well now. And everything the doctor said was supposed to happen is happening when it happens. And it's so right. But when I was first going through it, and I'd go back to the doctor, have it, and I couldn't bend my leg still out straight. And, you know, my knee was hurting. And, you know, the doctor told me, he says, right there on your kneecap, there's not very many blood vessels. And what you need to do, and she did it, and man, does she hurt me. She had my knee, and she started. No, this was the therapist. It wasn't the doctor. When I went to physical therapy, she did this. She grabbed both of her thumbs, and she started pressing down on that new metal and plastic in my knee. And she started rubbing it and rubbing it. I'm going, it hurts. And she said, you need to do that because it stimulates the blood flow in there, and the healing will be able to continue. This is what the Word of God does to us. When we apply it, when we let it sink in and we let it do what it's supposed to do, it stimulates the blood of Christ's flow in our lives. And it changes us. In Acts 20, where Paul, as he's leaving, says this to the people of the city of Ephesus. He says, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. Listen. To God and the word of his grace, which can build you up. See, it's stimulating growth. The word can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What does that mean? Give you an inheritance for those who are sanctified. You know what an inheritance is, right? An inheritance is what you get for being part of a family that's rightfully yours. Now, sometimes you can get written out of the will, but in God's plan, when you follow him, you're in the will. When you become a follower of Jesus, when you put your life in Christ's hands, when you trust him for salvation, you're not just a believer, but you're a follower. You're part of the family of God because God wants you in his family. Now you get family privileges. There are family responsibilities, of course, but there are family privileges. You, the Bible says, have an inheritance, a spiritual inheritance that you're going to gain from God, not just here on earth, but eternally in heaven, because this is not our home. This is not our home. The Bible calls us aliens. Yeah, you may wake up in the morning and say, man, I look like an alien. Well, you know what? We're all aliens because the Bible calls us strangers. Once we become part of the family of God, this is not our home. Our home is heaven, so we're strangers to this foreign land. 2 Timothy 3 says this, all scripture is God-breathed, theonoustos, God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that, here's the purpose of the Bible. Here's the purpose of the Bible. So that the servant of God, if you're a servant, raise your hand. If you're a servant of the Most High God, raise your hand. So the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You have to go through it. God, I want all you have for me. Get ready. It's not just the good stuff. It's also the suffering. It's also the trials and the troubles. God, I want all you have for me. Oh, well, he's got something for you. Because to become like Christ, we must identify with his sufferings as well as his glory. The purpose of the Bible is to help you live out the purpose God has for your life. that you will be thoroughly equipped, that you will have all you need, you'll be fully prepared, you'll be ready to face life, and you'll not have an insufficient life. And he says that the way God gets you ready for life, the way God gets you ready for his purpose, is through his word, the Bible. And the Bible does four things, it says in this verse. He says it's for teaching, it's for rebuking, it's for correcting, and it's for training. Say those after me. It's for teaching, it's for rebuking, it's for correcting, and it's for training. So let me give you a short definition of each. Teaching it. It shows me the path to walk on. Here's the way to make it in life. Rebuking. It shows me where I fell off the path. Because if you're like me, you've fallen off the path a few times, and I need somebody to say, hey, straighten up and walk right, you know. It's for correcting. It shows me how to get back on the right path. It corrects me. And it trains in righteousness. It shows me how to stay on the path. But you see, there again, as shown, I have knowledge, but I have to believe it, and act on it. Amen? God's word is used to illuminate my mind. Psalm 119 says this, the unfolding, get that, the unfolding. Can you picture yourself just unfolding? Of your word gives light. It opens up. When we unfold something, we're unfolding to see what's revealed in there. It's the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. And I will attest that I am a simple man. I am not that complex. And so when I read God's word, I want it to be light in my life. God wants to bring light to every single person. He wants light. He wants to light up our minds with the truth of who he is, with the truth of the next step, the next direction to take our lives in, with the truth of how to handle the feelings I'm having, with the truth of how to handle the relationship difficulties or the relationship successes that I'm having. He wants to bring light to our lives. And how does he do that? He turns the light on in our lives. When you soak your mind in the Word and you have the Holy Spirit in you, it lights up His Word. He helps you to see things with a different perspective, a different way if you're willing to open up. Psalm 119 says this, your Word is a lamp to my feet. And what? Amen. You know that one, right? He turns the light on so we can have direction in our lives, church. A lamp for our feet, a light for our path. When he's talking here, what he's talking about here and how does that work is this. This is the one of the most important lessons we can learn in life. How does my faith in God's word work in practical everyday ways? It's like a flashlight. Just think about that. A flashlight that I'm holding. It gives just enough light for the next steps. You ever seen that in the dark, in a dark room? And you turn the flashlight on, you can't see way out there. The flashlight only goes so far. So what God's word does is like a flashlight. We take a step where it shows us. And then when we take that step, guess what? The flashlight reveals another step. It lights up a little more of the path so we know which way God wants us to go. Turn the light on in your life is one of the greatest things you can do. And the way you can do that is pray prayers related to God's word. In fact, one of them is our memory verse for this coming week. In Psalm 119, it says, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I love the worship song. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. And it says, to see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love. And I'll sing, holy, holy. I'll join the elders, bowing down, singing, holy, holy, holy. Amen. God's word elevates my mood. How many of you need your mood elevated? Come on. Come on. We all at times are in need of a mood elevator because it's morning. Anybody have that problem? Anybody? No, my wife doesn't have that problem. She doesn't. I shall tell no lies. Yes, she does. Because it's morning, or you're down in the dumps, or you're feeling a little grumpy, or you're feeling like nobody cares, or because every side of the bed is the wrong side of the bed, you're having a pity party of one, and you're inviting only you. Whenever you get discouraged, you don't need a coffee break. You need a word break. Although, coffee with a word break is really good for me. Come on, preach it. God gave us the Bible to encourage us, to elevate our mood. Romans 15 says this, everything that was written in the past, he's talking about the word, was written to teach us so that through endurance, that means keep going, break down these words, that you keep going in this, and the encouragement from the scriptures, we might have hope. From the encouragement of the scriptures. Everything was written in scriptures that was meant to encourage you. And as a result, give you hope, church. Even though parts of are ultimately encourage your life in the right direction. That's why every day you need to spend a little bit of time alone with God. We call it quiet time. I don't care what you call it. Daily devotion, personal inspiration. It doesn't matter. Jesus time, whatever you want to call it. It's a little time where you get quiet, shh. And spend time with God. Stop talking so much. God hears you doing this and he wants you to do this. Every once in a while, he just wants you to be with him so he can impart. You can't hear the secrets of God if you keep talking. You hear yourself. Psalm 119 says, and this is out of the Message. If you've ever read the Message, this is, I love the way the Message translation puts this. You're my quiet place of retreat. I wait for your word to renew me. I wait. Lord, I'm here. Bring it. And just wait. Just wait for him. He's going to show up. The word of God is meant to renew you. The word of God is meant to encourage you. The word of God is meant to give you hope. If you're discouraged and you've lost hope, it tells me one thing. You know what it is? You're not in the word. Because if you're in the word and you truly believe it and you truly receive it, you'd be walking in that hope. Because if you're discouraged, you can have hope and you know where to go. The more you feel discouraged, the more you need to get in the word. Because of all these things, it recreates my life. It gives me a fresh start. And when life is falling apart, it eradicates or puts to an end the guilt for all the stupid things that I've done. It activates my faith. It stimulates spiritual growth. It illuminates my mind and it elevates my mood. And that's a good thing, right? Now, I want to share with you some benefits of these things. How do I gain these benefits? Repeat after me. Learn. Accept. Act. A little bit louder. Learn. Accept. Act. I've got to learn it. I've got to learn the Word of God. You can't do something until you've learned it, right? Jesus said in Mark 12, is this not the reason you are wrong? None of us like to be wrong, right? Is this not the reason you are wrong? Because you neither know the scripture nor the power of God. Reason I'm wrong? Because I don't know the word of God and its power. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you guys, you know what your trouble is? You just don't know the scriptures. They thought they did. What you think is your problem is not really your problem. Your problem is always your response to the problem. You can take two people, they have the exact same problem. One overcomes and one fails. One succeeds and one doesn't. Why? Because the problem is never the problem. The problem is always our response to the problem. Every problem is an opportunity. It depends on how you respond to it. It's an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity for prayer. It's an opportunity to trust God more. It's an opportunity to develop your character. It's an opportunity to see God do a miracle. It's an opportunity to become more like Jesus. The problem is not the circumstance. The problem is our response. The reason why we get into so many problems is we don't know how to respond correctly to our problems. So we typically do the opposite thing than what the world expects us to do. Now, I think I've shared this illustration before, and it came to me again. So if God brings me something, then I'm going to say it again, even if I've said it two or three times. But I got a special friend. Her name is Cheryl Dunn. And Cheryl, was a few years ago in their life, Brad came home, and he had lost his job. And he went home to tell his wife. How many of you have ever been afraid to go home and tell your spouse that you lost your job? Anybody? No, we all are something. But when he approached his wife, sweet Cheryl, and I don't see anything else coming out of her mouth, but that is like she said, wow, what's God going to do next? It's like, can you just imagine what God's got in store for us? It's like, what, Cheryl? What? What'd you say? That's not what I expected. And he has a little fireman Bill thing. That's not what I expected. But you know what? If you know Cheryl, that's exactly what you expect. And that blesses me. And I know many of you are like that too. And you've had that situation. It's like, we got an opportunity. There's something great going to happen. We're on the precipice of something incredible. But we just got to stay rooted in God's word and follow him. Right? We've got to accept it now. That means I accept its authority in my life. Now, a lot of us have authority problems, right? Don't tell me what to do. Who do you think you are? But if we learn God's word, we're reading it because we believe it. Now let's receive it. Let's accept it. There are things in the Bible I don't understand, but I've got to accept. There are things in the Bible I don't like, but I accept it. There are things in the Bible that are inconvenient, but I accept it. There are things in the Bible I wish God would have not said. Anybody there? God, I wish you hadn't said that. But I accept it. Why? Because God is God and I am not. And I believe he's the one true God and his word is his very breath and its truth. 1 Thessalonians 2 said, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Do you believe? Then it can happen in your life. And then you got to act on it. Jesus said in John 13, or did Jesus say in John 13, now that you know these things, you will be blessed since you know them? No, he didn't say that. Did he say, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you write them down in your notebook? No, he didn't say that. He said this, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. If you do them. You don't get blessed for the parts of the Bible you know. You get blessed for the parts of the Bible you do. So I've got to learn it. I've got to accept it, and I've got to act on it. And here ends the lesson. And it's for all of us. Amen? Your pastor's not perfect. Don't think he is. I'm a sinner like you. And I'm saved like you. And I'm redeemed, and I need him every day like you. We're in this together. Iron sharpens iron, right? Through the love of Christ, we hold each other accountable, right? By his love. And Jesus showed us the ultimate way to love by giving his life for you and me.